We're going to talk about plans, purposes, and peace. Plans, purposes, and peace. Everybody say plans, purposes, and peace. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 in the New Living Translations says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purposes will prevail. The Passion Translation, as we have it there in your handout, connection handout, a person may have many ideas concerning God's plan for his life, but only the designs of his purpose will succeed in the end. Jeremiah 29:11, many of us are familiar with this. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So we're talking about plans, purposes, and peace. The Amplified Classics, for I know the thoughts and plan that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. So whatever you're doing for God or planning for your life and future, ask yourself, is this God's plan? Many times the reason we fail or struggle to make progress in life is because we have the wrong plan, the wrong purpose and motive. Think of our personal lives, for example. Each of us as Christian, born-again Christian believers, Christ followers, are to be and become more and more like Christ, to grow up in spiritual maturity, and to live with Christ Jesus as our Lord, as the aim and center of our focus and the central theme of our future. So whatever you're looking at striving towards or going towards, Jesus should be the centerpiece or the central focus of that what you're going for. Amen. Because he is still the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is Lord of all. Amen. Amen. So our family, for example, has a God-given purpose and created intention to fulfill a plan to follow from God, our Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayers within the context of our individual families and our perspective should be to the fulfillment of that end. This is the big why you exist today and why you are born into the respective family and born again into God's family. See, our Father God has a plan for us to pursue fully and a purpose to fulfill with our lives and with our families. Now, I have plural because everybody has a natural family and then a church family or a spiritual family. Amen. You have to consider both all the time. Amen. Because the spiritual family is very important to God. And, of course, your personal family should be very important to you. Amen. Amen. As a church family, we are to be built around Jesus. It's his truth, his gospel, his plan of redemption, his amazing grace that empowers us, equips us, and enables us to do his will and work. Jesus, our Lord, is the centerpiece, the starting point, and the ending of all we are to be and become and do. Jesus is to be exalted, magnified, and glorified. See, remember, we were created, called, and commanded to serve God. And until we get that, life and life's seasons and times don't make sense to us. Is everybody here?
Yes.
So lifting up and honoring and exalting Jesus Christ is the purpose and reason for our building, blessing, serving, supporting, sowing into, and benefiting the church. Jesus Christ is the reason for this in every season, this holiday and in this every season. So whose plan are you following? Whose purpose are you fulfilling? God has a plan. Everybody say God has a plan.
God has a plan.
So you got to go to him to get the plan. We don't have to develop it, only discover his glorious good plan. Some people trying to get a plan, but he's got a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan. Now, that verse in Jeremiah 29:11, many of you heard me say this. It's Jeremiah's dark book. It's not necessarily recommended devotional reading because it's a dark book. And that 29th chapter is a dark chapter in a very dark book. But it's a bright verse in the middle of a dark chapter in a dark book that God says, in the middle of your darkest and dimmest hours of your life and seasons, I've got a plan. I've got a plan. And you need to be thanking God that he has a plan to get you out, to bring you up, to take you through, to take you over. He said, my plan is not for destruction and ruin. It is a plan of peace, a plan for your welfare and not your calamity. Come on now. I've got a good plan. I've got a glorious plan. I've got the best plan that can ever be planned out. Amen. Amen. Friends, it's easy to stray away from God's plan, particularly when you're in the dark place, when you're in a dim season. We must remember God who knows. He knows the future better than we know the past. Now, I know we can articulate our past and maybe our present situation with great detail, but God has a plan, and it's a good plan, and it's a glorious plan. Somebody say glory to God. So it pays in every way to wait before him and get his plan. Too many times we make our plans and then we ask God's blessings upon our plans. I'm going to do this for Thanksgiving. I'm going to do this for Christmas. I'm going to start doing this next year. Well, whose plan is it? Is it yours or is it God's? See, you won't have to ask God to bless it if it's his, because his plan's already blessed. Glory to God. Well, it's far better to get his plan because his plan is already blessed. See, God is calling us individually and as families and as a church family to stir ourselves up and find and refocus on his glorious good plan. See, being out of the plan brings dissatisfaction. That's why you have a lot of people who are ungrateful and unthankful, even in a designated holiday season called Thanksgiving. They're unthankful and ungrateful. And see, this opens the door to discouragement, depression, and delusion. We got more people depressed today and having mental challenges with their emotional state and well-being. Why? Because of they're not thankful and they're not grateful. Why? Because they need to understand that God has a plan. I mean, the master, the ruler, the creator of the universe thinks so well of you and intimately about you that he says, I've got a plan for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we got to go to him to get his plan. Amen. I mean, I'm already excited about it. Amen. I'm just getting started. Okay. Get God's plan and refocus and follow it fully. Why? Because the time is short. The end of all things is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. See, God's word and God's wisdom should tell us and communicate to us, friends, that it's the time to get be ready is not the time to get ready. I'm telling you right now, there is going to be some tremendous, outstanding, glorious things ahead for us. But see, the time to be ready is not the same time to get ready. Because God's a planner. He's a planning. He plans ahead. He said, I know the plans I have for you, amen, to give you a hope and a future, a final outcome that's peaceful, that's glorious, that's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not time to just wait and say, well, God, when is going to get ready? I'm already having visions and dreams about it now. I could tell you stuff. I'm going to reserve it for Wednesday night because the Lord's been dealing with me for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I just had one last night. I'm not going to share it right now. But it's good. I mean, it's so good. I was shocked. I was standing there in the bathroom mirror looking, shaving, and I'm thinking, my God, that was glorious. That was good. Amen. See, God's not going to bring back a sad, mad, and depressed church. He's coming for a glorious church. And man, he's going to show his glory all through the whole earth that he is God. Praise God. And we got to get ready for him. So we have to plan and prepare ahead. We have to, because we always said this, faith prepares and faith gets ready. So the greatest demonstration or display that you're expecting something good is by what you prepare for. If you're expecting, like, for just a simple thing, like a new car, and they want your old car for trade-in, and somebody's gifted you that, you're expecting that gift to come into your hands or your life, but you, and they say, well, we want your car to turn. You clean it up and get it ready. Clean it up, fix it up, get it ready to turn it in. Amen? But you're not expecting if you're not doing anything. Faith prepares. Faith gets ready. Amen? And so he gets ready to focus and follow his plan because he has a plan. He has a purpose now in this time. Praise God. So how do we find this? So we're going to read an account that I think is so awesome and so insightful for us to see. So I'm going to read it off the screen. Acts chapter 16. Read the account, what is called, commonly referred to as the Macedonian call. Macedonian call. Okay. So verse 6. Now when he had gone through that's the place, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So God's, so right there we know that God's no is just as important as his yes. So there are divine starts, but also divine stops. It says stop. And we've been talking about relationships on Wednesday night. So some people should get the word and don't let the Holy Spirit walk through and blow a bullhorn in your ear and you still can't hear him. He might say, stop hanging around that person. Don't go there. Amen? Amen? So because we got to be yielded and open to his divine stops is just as much as his divine starts. Why? Because he has a plan for your future. And there are what we call future bearers in relational context, what I'm talking about, that can take you or like a bridge to transition you into your glorious good future. But sometimes people will keep you a prisoner to your past or in the present pain of your problems and circumstances. All right, let's keep going. Thank you for that little, I won't charge you for that. After they come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Again, more divine stops. So passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. So they're going and the Lord said, nope, nope, nope. And then the vision appeared to who? Paul in the night. And a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, so he had a spiritual vision, come over and help us. I was in a meeting with Brother Hagin in a camp meeting one time, and he had the same thing from a man in India. In the middle of a camp meeting, he walked down the aisle, he looked down the aisle, and I was ushering, and you couldn't see who he was talking to, but it was down the middle of the aisle, big seats on this side, seats on that. This is a Tulsa Convention Center, and he's talking to someone else. And he told us, he said, I'm talking to somebody in India. And this is before they started Rhema Bible Training College in India or campuses in India. And he was saying, come over and help us. We need the message of faith here in this. Because, you know, the big, superstitious, nature and idolatry in most of India, and of course the Muslims and things of that nature. And so they come, and so they began to plant campuses. Began to first pray for India, and then began to plant campuses in India. And now it's exploding. People getting saved by the hundreds coming out of Islam in India. Everybody said God has a plan. So he gives the plan. Go back, please. So he said, come over and help us. And so he gives the plan to the visionary or the leader. Verse 10. Okay. Now after he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we. Now most people don't transition from he to we. And you notice how Pastor Cynthia sometimes says, welcome to your church. Because everybody has a natural family, but you belong to a spiritual family. After we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord was able to have called who? No, I thought Paul had the vision. I didn't see anything. Paul did. But the visionary's vision for the house is the vision of the house and the entire house. So we have responsibilities to catch it, to carry it, and to convey it. Amen. I'm talking about plans, purposes, and peace, and including that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. They had made a decision. That's the vision. That's the plan. All right, keep going. Is that it? Okay, I think that's it. Okay. So we see this account gives us great detail and insight on how we find God's purpose and discover his plan. So we are to live according to his created intentions and called purposes, not other ideas and intentions. So each of us have three biblical purposes. Number one, first, your universal purpose. Everybody say universal purpose. So we, which is everybody's plan, we call it the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, which is to see people saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the love of God. Everybody say Great Commandment, Great Commission. Everybody in the family of God is involved, should be involved in that purpose. That's the primary universal purpose of the body of Christ. When you give, it's for that end. You giving toward the preaching and teaching of the gospel to get what? People saved, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit. Walking in the love of God. You taking people out of the kingdom of darkness and helping them by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ into the marvelous light of the Lord. Amen. Into the kingdom of God. Secondly, well, first we need to say this. No matter who you are or what you or your endeavor is, if your plans and purposes are in line with God, they will succeed. Why do you write a book? Why do you do your profession? Amen. Why do you give? Yeah, I remember Dad Hagin said, it took me 9 years to write my first book once he had the idea come upon him because somebody came up and said to him, you ought to write a book. You can make a lot of money. And so if he'd have wrote the book to make money, that would have been the wrong purpose and the wrong motive and the wrong plan. Why do you do what you do? See, we got to think about this in the context of money. Money doesn't make ministry. Ministry makes money. If you're in that job or have that business is your ministry. And your ministry makes money. Everybody say right purpose, right plan. Right plan. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And some people, you know, repurpose, wrong purpose, you know, when it, particularly when it comes to money, because everybody wants to get rich or have enough so they don't have to be thinking about bills. God doesn't bless us just to sit on our blessings. He blesses us to be what? He even said, give, and it shall. It's not the it of money, it's the it of ministry. It shall be given back to you. Amen. Amen. So you give to minister. You give to bless and benefit others. Now, secondly, we all each have a united purpose as a church family. Why and for what reason? To carry out his vision and accomplish a corporate mission that he has ordained and ordered. You're part of a team. The best natural concept of a team I could describe is Brother Steve's favorite football team, New England Patriots. They're renowned. They are a dynasty. They're renowned for their team work and their team synergy. And their kind of mantra through the, even through the locker room is everybody has to do what? Their job. That's what the united purpose is. But some people don't think, well, I don't have a purpose. And you see it happen in natural families where there's dysfunction and dissatisfaction. Why? Because people in the family aren't doing their job. And that's what happens even also in a united church family or corporate body. Everybody has to come with the mindset, I got to do my job. If my job should be minimally to serve and support and bring my supply. Everybody has a supply to make. Amen. Amen. And everybody's little bit of supply makes a big difference. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we partner together to fulfill his purpose and plan in for his church here at Triumphant Word Christian Center. 1 Corinthians 12:18 tells us, but now God has set members, each of them, in the body as he pleased. So sometimes, why was I here? I'm tired of this family. No, God put you in that family for a purpose. The reason you're frustrated or dissatisfied is because you could be following the wrong plan or trying to fulfill the wrong purpose. See, purpose is tied to fulfillment. And when people aren't fulfilled, oftentimes they chase and run after fulfillment decoys. Decoys like stuff, status, and security through other means. Some people always run into something else or someone else trying to chase fulfillment. Everybody say wrong plan, wrong purpose. So God sent you in that family and set you in that family for a reason. He sent you and set you into this family for a reason. Every part is important, unique, and special and needed. Amen. Romans 12:4-5, New Living Translation. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. Everybody say, I have a special function in my family. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You got to call that up. Bring that up by faith. Amen. So it is with Christ's body. So just as each body part has a function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. And we all belong to each other. Amen. So if my hands start just trying to disconnect or separate from my arm, my body becomes dysfunctional because I need my right hand. If my ear tries to just all of a sudden try to pop off my ear, it's going to atrophy and wither and die away. And then I'm going to lose hearing in my right ear. I'm going to become dysfunctional. Every part is important. Every person is necessary. Amen. Amen. Everybody say family. matters. So this verse shows us that we've been set in a local body and church as a team united. We all have various parts to play and do to promote the progress of the entire body and the health of the body. We work to function as one unified team to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our church. So we have to stick to the plan. We have to stay in his purpose. Praise God. Third, we each have individually a unique purpose. So everybody has a universal purpose, a united purpose, and a unique purpose. Our God-gifted grace, our place, our race, our role, our responsibilities in God's local family, he assigns and appoints us to. It's your job. Amen? We all have to do our what? Do our job. Now, these are five common unique purposes that we're going to outline. I'm going to extrapolate a little bit more on Wednesday on these. But number one is membership. You know, a body part doesn't say, I'm not a member of that body. Well, it's your knee. It's connected. Come on now. Amen. See, our decided and demonstrated commitment to God and the church family. Maturity is the second one. This is our decided, because you have to make a decision. I'm going to grow. Growth doesn't happen by accident or haphazardly. It has to be intentional. I decide and demonstrate commitment to the habits necessary for spiritual growth. That means I read my Bible. I pray every day. I pray in the Spirit. I make confessions. I live by faith. I walk in love. I grow, grow, grow. Because my growth helps the church grow. Growth of the church is predicated upon my growth. Number three is ministry. Then it's our decided and demonstrated commitment to discovering and using my God-given gifts, abilities in service to God and to others. That means I don't bury my talents. I don't take and shortcut my time. I don't hold back my treasure, and I don't withhold my testimony. All of that's given freely and willingly to be a benefit to God and the people and church of God. Number four, missions. It's my decided and demonstrated commitment to show and share the good news of the gospel with others. You should not sleep well at night if you've gone Monday through Saturday and you're laying in the bed and you know I've got Be My Guest cards. I've got Vision little square cards back there in my pocket, and I didn't share one with one person that week. You don't go a week without sharing the good news. You're planting and watering, and God gives the increase. In other words, you got to give God something to work with, because our church is to be missional and not just relational. That means we're here on a mission. It's not a bless me club. Amen? In other words, we got to be thinking about who, Lord, will you send across my path this week or tomorrow that I need to introduce and share you with? Who do I need to bring to church? Because the Lord wants souls. He said, my Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. The first fruit and the primary priority fruit is the fruit of souls. People are the mission. People is our mission. Number five, magnify. These are our unique purposes. Everybody in this room has those. To be a good member, that means I got to make a confession and I got to act expectantly that I'm a good church member. I am growing up. I desire to grow. I know it's going to be painful a little bit, but I'll take the pain for the gain. Amen. I'm in the ministry. Our church, as a united church, has to be strong. And how we become strong is when every member becomes a minister. It's not about every member because we're not saved to sit, we're saved to serve. We're in the ministry. Amen. We're in on a mission, and we magnify the Lord in our lives. See, our decided and demonstrated commitment to live it and lead a lifestyle of worship that brings glory and honor to God through presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So what we do in our bodies affects and impacts the entire body. Amen. And resisting and refusing to conform to worldliness and wickedness. We got to watch what we repost and repost online because it reveals a part of our character. If we get dark and damaging and demented in our reposting and posting of stuff online, it just shows that we're not renewing our mind. We got stinking thinking. Your thoughts don't glorify God. Your thoughts horrify God. Because nobody in their right mind will be posting stuff like that. Will be posting dark and damaging stuff. Well, praise the Lord. Even joking and jesting, we got to be cognizant. Is this reflecting light and good to the Lord? Or am I highlighting somebody's and contributing to somebody's demise or downfall? Am I trying to be political or critical? We're called to magnify God. Everybody say magnify God. Not magnify yourself, not magnify your problems. Amen. Magnify God. Everybody say magnify God. Amen. You got to renew your mind, change the way and manner you think. Because your hair doesn't stay combed longer than your mind stays renewed. So you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Just like you take a bath or shower every day, you hygiene your body every day, you need to hygiene your head every day. That's why we got to read the Bible. You got to put think time in the Bible. You got to put your mind on the things of God. Amen. Set your mind and keep them set. Amen. Praise God. This is good stuff, man. This is good for you to get dressed and come to church. Amen. So come in line with God, the Word of God, offering spiritual sacrifices and genuine praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. One of the Rhema Singers and Band guys, Jim Hockaday, one time had lunch with Brother Hagin because Brother Hagin didn't like to go to lunch alone. And so if you knew him, he doesn't talk a lot. You know, he doesn't speak a lot of words. And so when he was on the earth, and he said, Jim, he said, can you go to lunch with you? Yeah. He thought he was going to have this big social conversation and dialogue. But no, brother, he didn't talk to him. He just wanted to have somebody. But he said, I noticed something. Every 10 to 15 minutes, he always praised the Lord. That's magnifying him. See, when you praise, you get raised. When you complain, you remain. And there's no place between being thankful and unthankful. See, people get thankful around a Thanksgiving meal when they give that one little thing they're thankful for. But we're supposed to be thankful all the time, every day. That means thankful means your tank stays full. And you make room for God to do more in your life because you remember and you value him and his things in your life. So every time, he said, every 10 minutes, he would say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then go back to eating his soup. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He was full of what? Thanks and magnifying the Lord. Amen. So we see from this account again in Acts that we read, our calling and our God-given purpose is found. Your calling and purpose are defined by the vision you've been set under. Well, Lord, I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me what to do. Well, you're in a church that is telling you what to do. You get in your place. You get in your grace. Don't fall on your face. And be thankful and grateful that you have the privilege of a place and a part to play in the body of Christ. See, the order of God is not voting, but volunteering. God has a volunteer army. He's not drafting you to do something. He wants you willingly to volunteer to do something. And be thankful and grateful for the privilege and the opportunity to serve God in and through the local church. See, if you vote on everything we have to engage in and endure within the church, because some people think I have rights. No, we're not in a civilian organization. We're in the army of the Lord. We're in the body of Christ. Jesus is our Lord. That means he gets to tell us what to do. So sometimes we vote. I'm not going to come tonight. Well, who said you got to vote? I'm not going to come on Wednesday night. Who said you got to vote? Well, I'm voting because my gas is low. I'm voting because I got so many problems in my house. I don't feel good. I hurt my hand. No, you got a job to do. God says the best ability is availability. Say, Lord, I'm willing and I'm available. Every time the door opens, I'm volunteering to come. To show up on time, to show up early, to show up prepared. And I'm come with a thankful and grateful attitude. I'm going to turn around to the wall and say, preach, Pastor, you're doing real good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe I will. Praise God. See, we can become, if we vote, then we become unthankful and ungrateful. And get out of his purposes and stop following his plan. I've been doing this thing all my life, friends, and 30-something years, being a Christian, and the time serving in the church at the lowest capacity, you know, to now senior pastor. And I've seen people over time fall out of the plan and fall off God's purposes. Why? Because they were unthankful, ungrateful. Just for the privilege of sweeping a broom or cleaning the toilet. You know, I had a big, fairly large, medium-sized church be now today, but it was about 400, maybe 500 seats church again. And then me and my best friend in college, we had the opportunity to clean the bathrooms and then drive our pastor to his other church every Sunday, take turns, because, you know, he had two churches. Serve him, be there early, stay there late, miss all the football games. But not once did he or I complain and say, wait a minute. Why are we doing this? What's wrong? We didn't run around looking at the chairs and say, why did people stick their gum on the chairs? Why do people leave their trash in between the seats? When you complain, you remain. You praise. See, when you're unthankful, ungrateful, it's real close to being ungodly. It's one of the most ungodly ways and mannerisms that you can portray is to be unthankful and ungrateful. And some people's attitude becomes ungrateful when they start thinking, taking everything for granted. Why I have to still do this? Why do I have to still come and pray? See, for you being thankful is and being full of gratefulness is a part of serving in the context of your place, plays a huge factor in staying in faith and focused on God's plan and purpose for your lives. Grateful keeps you in faith. Keeps you in faith. Thankfulness guards your peace of mind and mind's focus on God's plan and purpose. Complaining takes you out of faith and takes you out of focus from the right purpose. You forget the reason why you belong here. You forget the reason why you're in that family. Now, there's a danger to distractions, friends, because Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. I'm reading out New Living Translation. Who all trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. See, our ability to stay in perfect peace is dependent on keeping your mind in one place, fixed on Him. Because everybody's got problems and pressure and predicaments they're having to deal with. Isn't that true? Stop focusing on them, or those things. Focus on Him. That's the real essence of Thanksgiving, because it's about Him, who He is, what He's done, and what He's going to do in your life, because He has a plan. Amen? See, the absence of peace is a product of wandering and distracted mind. Some are distracted here because you're looking on your phone. You're not looking up Scripture. You're looking up something else. You're distracted in the mind. See, sickness and symptoms of sickness are major distractions. Sorrowing and grieving over things lost, money that's low, or is a major distraction. Now, I'm going to read this out of a few verses out of the King James Version, Luke 10. We need to see the story of and the account of Mary and Martha. Everybody say Mary and Martha. Now, see how the two opposite situations here. Mary, verse 8. Now, it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That's a good thing. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So you can visualize this. Mary's opening the door. Hey, Jesus. And he's bringing all his 12 disciples. And some scholars even say the 70 was with him. So he got 82 people in the house now. So Martha's panicking. Just like people panic and get under pressure during the holidays. And then what happens? Here we go. But here's Mary goes and says, oh, Jesus, have a seat. And she sits down right next to him. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou now care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. You know he's trying to get your attention when he calls your name out twice. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful or required, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, the word cumbered, I think I have it there, is to be drawn away in the mind or to be driven about in the mind, to be distracted or to be over-occupied. Some people can't even be still. Why? Because, you know, what they say, how many, 140 Twitters or characters on Twitter or something like that limit. So you always got that eight-minute limit. Or some is gotten down to 1 minute limit. That means I can't focus. Why? Because my mind's being drawn away, distracted all the time. Too much social media sometimes does that to you, because you're always looking for the like or you're looking for the comment, suggestion. Praise the Lord. It's called a diminishing reward syndrome. That means it takes your mind to always receive new, fresh levels of dopamine because I need a new hit. It's the same thing that a drug addict, alcoholic, and a porn addict has. You're always looking for the next hit. See, Satan, our enemy, steals the word from three kinds of people. Those who don't value it, those who do not honor it, and those who are drawn away from it or distracted. If you look back over the last month or so in the notes and the teachings from Wednesday night, they're remarkable. But who has put their mind on it and their thoughts on it? When we went through the series, The Laws of Increase. Remarkable truths. But many people are distracted. Like Mary, Martha, cumbered about. about and worried and troubled about many things. See, Mary chose the good part. She refused to get distracted because distracted people distract other people. Distractions are the destruction of our God-given dreams in slow motion. Focus is the only way to destroy distractions. See, we are focused. We are to focus on God's given, our God-given purposes and the glorious good plan of God for our lives. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. See, purpose is dead without a plan. It's planning that empowers purpose to deliver. We see this in another account with David. Let's look at Samuel 11, 1 through 5. We're almost done. We're getting somewhere here. About the month later, King Nasa Ammon led the 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, Lord, 11. Sorry. I think I put the wrong one. Can you put 2 Samuel 11:1? There you go. In the spring of the year, thank you. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, he was a king, right? David sent Joab into the Israel to fight the Amorites. So he wasn't doing what he's supposed to be doing. Wrong purpose. Wrong plan. They destroyed the Amorite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. In other words, he's not focusing on the fight that he's supposed to be in. This is big, guys. Late that one afternoon after his midday, David got out of bed and was walking on the rooftop to the palace. In other words, he was Googling on the internet. He was searching on the internet. And he looked over about the city and he noticed a woman. Of course, that, we know that's pornography, but it's an unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he told him, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, a wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent a message to get her. And when she came to the place, he slept with her. She had just completed her purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home. Later, when Bathsheba discovered she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, I'm pregnant. See, distractions deter us and disrupt us from our fully pursuing God's plan and fulfilling his purpose. Here's the real learning from this account in the life of King David. Whenever you avoid the battle you were born for, you face a battle you're not prepared, equipped for. See, we learn not to take the danger of distractions and the pitfalls of broken focus that David succumbed to. So our challenge today is to stay focused on the plan, on his purpose, and to stay in peace. Now, what about this peace thing? Let me skip down to that as we close. What guards our peace and protects our faith and focus? Everybody say Thanksgiving. This is the big conclusion here. As we conclude. So about this time of year, everybody's anticipating and thinking, decorating their house, perhaps, holiday season, right? But in order to guard ourselves from the discouragement and depression and protect us from the dangers of distractions, we have to release this guardian of our peace and protector of our faith that will leave us protected when such attacks of depression, discouragement, despair, delusionment come upon us. Now let's read Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says this, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Now just stop right there and think about those four words. Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
But he said, but in everything. So your word circle should have what in it? Nothing that draws you in your mind to. Nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication. So your prayer circle should have what? everything in it. And then there's a last phrase there, with what's in your Thanksgiving. Everything. In everything, what? Give thanks. For that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. I want you to look at those four words. Go to verse 7. And the peace of what? Which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, how many people worry, pray before? You concerned about that thing, and you're begging God, pleading with God, and then you forgot to cast your cares on him, and you forgot to give him thanks. Thanksgiving keeps you in faith. Complaining gets you out of faith and takes you out of focus. See, the opposite of peace is worry. When there's peace absent, there's usually worry present. The word for anxious means to have a mind divided between legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. The word anxious also means taking care or being pulled between two decisions. In other words, you're taking the care in and you're being pulled between two decisions, a mind divided. See, destructive thoughts will choke out the word of God and cause believers to abandon their trust. This is not God's plan. So in other words, you're working a plan and then problems come up, pain comes in, pressure comes on, circumstances comes on the scene, and we say, well, we must not be in the right plan. So we get out of the plan. We go into the wrong purpose, and then we forfeit our peace. Is everybody seeing this today? See, in Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life. Now, the moment you put worry on what you're going to eat for Thursday, what you're going to cook, you're going to fall into Mary's category. You stress about what you're going to get for Christmas or what we're going to do for this holiday season, you put yourself in Martha category. You're going to be much cumbered. But I'm giving you a master key this morning. See, Peter echoes the same in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How much of your care? See, carrying the care will reduce your faith to zero. And the carrying of your care is pride. The casting of your care is a humility which precedes your faith act. Saying, I'm going to give this to God. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret over it. I'm not going to get frustrated over it. I'm not going to post on social media about it. I'm going to give it to the Lord. Everybody say, give it to the Lord. And then I'm going to thank him that he's taking care of it. Is everybody following me? I'm trying to make this as plain as. See, the devil sits in coercion while you stand confident and declare truth of God's word concerning your life and outcome. God has a plan. God has a good plan. Amen for me. Amen. The only way he can move you and get you into hope to hopelessly respond to the natural demands of life, which will produce a worldly riot in your soul, is to get in your mind and make your mind divided. Then you got war going on between your ears. Everybody said in everything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. How thankful are you? I know it's before Thanksgiving. I know we're going to give thanks on that day, usually. But how thankful are you right now for the people in your life, for your family members? How grateful are you to be a part of that family that you belong to? this church family that you won't go to? When's the last time you've uttered through your lips, "Thank you, Lord," for? Amen. You remember and value. See, don't worry and be anxious and full of care, but in every moment, every trial, and every area of indecision, begin a conversation with God and place your request before him. But don't stop there, friends. Don't just say pray about it. You got to praise and thank God in it and for it, that he's going to come to your behalf. He's going to be your keeper. He's going to be your strength and your shield. Come on now. He's going to be your refuge in a time of trouble and a very present help. You're going to thank him in advance. Come on, everybody say, "Thank you, Lord." You got to conclude that prayer with a time of thanksgiving. Giving thanks, giving God thanks, places you in a realm of expectation and releases your faith to set out and lay hold of your petition, making it a reality. We call it the switch of faith. Praise God. I'll repeat this again, friends, as we're winding this down. Thanksgiving and gratitude helps keep you and protect you in faith. Complaining takes you and I completely out of faith. See, the enemy of our soul wants to take us out of faith, destroy our focus with distractions, disruptions, discouragement, and depression. There should be no reason why anybody should be discouraged or depressed. You can't be when you're thankful. Amen. See, ultimately, the devil's after your peace, because peace guards your heart and mind. It's from that seated position of peace that God has designed and purposed you and I to reign in life. Whatever is costing you your peace, now these are very powerful statements I'm making, is too expensive for you. If you're stressing about stuff, worrying about stuff, being a worry wart, you're sinning and you need to quit it. Thanksgiving is the guardian of your peace. It's the password, like you have an app or a website that you usually go to and it asks for your password to log in. Thanksgiving is the password into the very presence of God, because he said, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, where you experience both the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore." Distractions completely destroy your intimacy with God, his presence, and it causes his peace to be absent in your mind and heart. Peace is the byproduct of our faith and our focus staying on God and staying in the plan and purposes of God. Peace protects your mind and your heart in the midst of problems and helps you and I make progress through our trouble, temptations, and trials. Come on, somebody give me an amen for that. Thanksgiving helps you guard your peace and keep your faith focused. Look at this, what it says in Colossians 3:15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." What else is supposed to rule in your heart? The peace of God. Rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. See, there's no place thankful and then unthankful. See, there's no place in between. You're either one or the other. You're either thankful or unthankful. And you have to maintain an attitude of gratitude. If somebody give you a pocket knife, thank you. And thank you, Lord, for them thinking about me. Somebody cook you dinner or cook you a meal, thank you, Lord. I appreciate this. Thank you for cooking this meal, this dinner for me. Somebody take and pick you up something to eat. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. There's thanksgiving for, there's thanksgiving before, there's thanksgiving after. Some of y'all get that about 10 o'clock tonight. What, thanksgiving for, thanksgiving before? No, before the outcome, you give thanks at the onset. That's what I'm talking about before. Some people wait until everything to get done, everything to get settled in their house and in their home, in their life, and then I'll give thanks and appreciation. No, you thank God before, because the Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means your car breaks down, or you got some problem with your house or your family, you thanking God that he's working all things together for your good because you love God and you're called according to his purpose. Thanksgiving before sets you up and opens you up to experience victory. Thanksgiving after is when you shout and share the testimony of the Lord's victory in your life. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity for you to help me grow my faith in this situation. You don't just run around and tell people, pray for me. And your mouth is all long and you got an attitude of ingratitude. No, you're saying, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to see your word come true in my life. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for me to grow up in faith and see you explode victory in my world. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's too much complaining. Well, praise the Lord. Now, write this down real quick. This is one something. Pastor Keith Moore shared this, and I never forgot it in school. Wrote it down. He said, don't think about it. We're talking about Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Why do you let it rule? How do you let it rule? And be thankful. What are some of the things you need to guard yourself with? Don't ever think about, talk about, meditate on, ponder over what you don't know. You don't know something? I don't know what to do. Don't worry. That's not what you don't do. Don't slip into worry and frustration and anxiety. What you can't do. I can't do this. Don't ever say that, because I can't's in the Bible, not in the Bible. How do you keep that peace ruling in your heart and be thankful? Don't meditate, talk about, ponder. Think about what you can't do. And then number three, what you don't have. Some people say, well, everything is a rough year. It's a rough month. Why are you focusing on what you don't have? Why are you thinking and talking about what you don't have? It's hot. It's cold. I don't have a good new jacket. You're going to take your peace out. Amen. And you're not going to protect your faith. Praise God. Again, gratitude keeps you in faith. Gratitude and thankfulness shields and quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. You don't allow the devil to take your heart of gratitude and praise. Don't let the devil steal your thanksgiving. Amen. God's not done with you and me. Nor has he created it, changed his mind concerning you. He has a good plan for your life. He has a glorious purpose for you to fulfill. Don't throw away your peace, for it is the power that will see you through to the end. And let's give thanks, stay in peace, follow his plan, fulfill his purposes, and watch God work this holiday season. I'm telling you, it's going to be outstanding. If we stay in his plan and fulfill his purpose and stay in peace. Praise God. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.